This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاك الله خير. Thank you so much for joining us this episode 14 in our series The Women Around the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. And happy Heritage Day for those of us here in South Africa. Today being a public holiday, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to bless the Muslim community here in South Africa and throughout the world. Alhamdulillah, we have a very long and prosperous history here in this country. And for over 350 years, the Muslims have been in this country. And it's one of the longest Muslim minorities in the Western world. And subhanAllah, we even, you know, mentioned that the first masjid in the Southern Hemisphere, we'd like to believe, was built here in Cape Town, the Owal Masjid, more than 250 years ago. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the Muslim community here in South Africa and throughout the world. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. We continue discussing the relationship between the Prophet ﷺ and Aisha radiallahu anha, and we're speaking about the softer, you know, the beautiful moments that they had, the intimate moments that they had as husband and wife. Today, inshallah, and perhaps in our next episode as well, we'll continue. We want to discuss perhaps the worst moment in the life of Aisha radiallahu anha with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most difficult experience of her life in her, you know, with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, something which is so profound and so emotional that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually revealed verses concerning this event. This event, of course, we're talking about the ifk of Aisha, or the slander of Aisha, where Aisha radiallahu anha was accused of committing, you know, this major sin of being unfaithful to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously a very, very serious allegation. And so, subhanAllah, let's talk about this incident. And what's beautiful about this incident, or rather the narration of this incident, is that it's one of the longer hadiths, again, you'd find in Bukhari, where Aisha herself, from the first person's perspective, she's explaining to us what happened, she's telling us the emotions, she was telling us what she went through and how it unfolded. So we get a very beautiful insight into the event from a first person account from Aisha herself. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentions that this is perhaps 5 years after the Hijrah, the 5th year after the Hijrah. Aisha radiallahu anha had been married to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for about 3-4 years now. And she says that, as we mentioned before, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on a journey, was on one of the campaigns, and he drew lots amongst his wives as to which of them would join him. And it so happened that she was lucky, she was the lucky wife, and her lot was drawn. And so, alhamdulillah, she was accompanying him on one of these campaigns. She says this was also after the rules of hijab concerning the wives of the Prophet ﷺ had been revealed. So we mentioned also before that there are, for the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, they have two levels of hijab. First level of hijab, the basic hijab, which is for all the women of the Muslim world, that she covers her head, her hair, and she pulls this head covering down upon her chest, and she covers her outer body with a loose outer garment called the jilbab. And this is basically how the Muslim woman dresses. As for the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, she has a higher level of hijab, where her actual figure has to be screened with a physical barrier. So how does the wife of the Prophet ﷺ travel if she even cannot, she has to be behind a screen? They would travel in what is called a hawdaj, a little compartment, so a little bit like a hut on top of the camel, a cottage or a wagon, and she would be placed inside of this thing, and this hawdaj will be on top of the camel, and this is how the wives of the Prophet ﷺ would travel. So they could be screened completely. So Aisha radiallahu anha mentions that she was on this journey, and she was in her hawdaj, and she waited for nightfall, and then she exited the hawdaj to relieve the call of nature. And she was out and she was doing her business. When she returned, once again, you know, Aisha radiallahu anha, we said this is this clumsy side to her. She realizes she has misplaced her necklace. So she goes back into the desert, searching for her necklace, looking for her lost necklace. And when she comes back, subhanAllah, again, this is the middle of the night, she finds that the army had left. And her box, her hawdaj that she was in, she says that she was a light girl. She wasn't very large. So when the men lifted up this compartment, they hadn't realized that it was empty. And they left without her. And subhanAllah, she says, okay, she didn't panic, and this shows her wisdom, and she shows her strength of character. She basically was very calm about the situation. She's Now, again, imagine this. She's in the middle of the desert. This was on an expedition, which means they were in enemy territory. She's completely alone. And she basically says to herself, she realizes eventually they will come to know that she's missing, and they will basically return to where they stopped. So she finds a place to sit, and she sits there, and she basically waits for them. And as time goes by, she falls asleep. She, of course, has taken off her face covering. And as morning breaks, it's morning, you know, it's in the middle of the morning now, one of the companions by the name of Safwan radiallahu anhu, a famous companion, he had been left behind, he was a bit slow, and he came up, he was bringing up the rear of the army. And sometimes what you would have also in the army, you would have scouts, those in front and those behind, just to ensure that there was no one following the army or no one in front having any issues. So Safwan was of those who were at the back. And as he comes across, he finds Aisha radiallahu anha lying here in the middle of the desert, and he had known her before hijab had been compulsory on her, which means he recognized her. And she says he saw her, and the only thing he said to her, she says, by Allah, the only exchange of words there were between the two of them was that he said, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." Verily from Allah we come, and to Allah we will return. He said these words, and that was it. Now, side note here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us that إِذَا أَصَابَتُمْ مُصِيبَةً, that for those, the believers, when they are afflicted with any kind of calamity, big or small, they say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." From Allah do we come, and to Allah we will return. Now, it's an incorrect assumption that people imagine you only say "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un" for when someone has passed away. So the brother will phone and he says, "You know, Ahmad, I've been in an accident," and you say "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un," and he says, "No, I didn't die. I'm still alive. Just a small accident." Or someone says, "I'm sick," and you say "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." He says, "No, I'm not dead. It's not terminal. I just got some kind of sickness. Don't kill me prematurely." No. So we say "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un" for any calamity, any discomfort that we may experience, whether big or small. And these words are beautiful because what we are telling ourselves, it's a dua, number one, and what we tell ourselves is that everything that we have, everything that we enjoy and love in this life comes from Allah, and we came from Allah, and ultimately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take those things and will return to Him, which means everything in life is basically temporary. The things that we love, our money, our health, our kids, our life, it's just temporary. It's on lease, it's on loan. Allah gave it to us for a short period, and it will be returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, Allah mentions that those who are afflicted with any kind of calamity, and they say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un," and they are patient through this calamity. They persevere through it, and they don't utter any words against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show displeasure to Allah, then Allah sends salawat on them. Allah praises them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends His greetings upon them. What a great honor that is for the one who is going through affliction. So may Allah make easy for anyone and all the people throughout the world that are suffering from the loss of someone that they love. They're suffering through the loss of wealth or health. May Allah make it easy for everyone. I mean, back to Aisha and Safwan. So Aisha says, Safwan comes upon her, he finds her there, lying in the desert, and she immediately covers her face once he sees her. And she says, "The only thing he said to me was, 'Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un.'" And then he made his camel to kneel, he brought his camel down. So I got onto his camel, and he walked in front, and he led the camel. And we continued like this, the two of us, for a number of hours it might be, until about Dhuhr time, they reached up with the main army. Now imagine this, the scene. The army sees Aisha coming into the camp with Safwan. The two of them out in the desert, here they're walking in, subhanAllah. I remember one imam mentions, it's as if though you see the imam, you know, driving into town, and next to him on the passenger side there's this young woman, and if that's not imam's wife, and immediately people who have a disease in their heart, people who have some kind of sickness, immediately their mind goes to some affair. There must be something illicit, something scandalous has just happened. So they start spreading the rumors. Did you see Aisha and Safwan? They had spent the night together out in the desert, and now they've snuck into the camp all quietly. SubhanAllah, what is going on here? And people start spreading rumors. Now this is called the ifk, the slander. They are slandering the character of Aisha and Safwan. Aisha radiallahu anha, from her side, she says she was completely, you know, clueless with regards to the talk that was happening. So the talk began, they returned to Medina, and now rumors are spreading left, right and center in Medina. Aisha radiallahu anha says, And again, the hadith, she's telling us from a first-person perspective. She says she returned to Medina, and she had not noticed anything odd or strange. In fact, she was ill for a few weeks, and therefore she didn't really leave the house much. So she was basically indoors for a couple of weeks. And therefore, she wasn't interacting with anybody. She was completely clueless. In fact, the news of Safwan and Aisha being alone together, that there was some kind of affair between them, it had actually reached the ears of the Prophet ﷺ, and he was aware of it, yet he did not say anything to her. So Aisha says, there was nothing odd or strange. She was completely unaware. The only thing that seemed out of place for her was that when the Prophet ﷺ would visit her, and the fact that she was sick now, he wasn't as affectionate as he usually was. He wasn't as sweet and as kind as he usually was. He was very matter of fact. He would say, how are you doing? Are you okay? He checked up on her. But that extra level of tenderness that she knew from him, especially now that she was sick, she was always accustomed. Of course, when she was sick, he would be even more affectionate and caring. He was a bit cold. And again, subhanAllah, it just shows us the kind of relationship they had. Just in the tone of the dialogue, they weren't arguing, they weren't saying anything, you know, negative to one another, but just the way he said hello to her was different to the way he usually said to her, and she felt something wasn't normal, and she says, that's what hurt me the most. This whole ordeal, it wasn't that people were saying things about me. The thing that hurt me the most was for a brief period, a couple of weeks, the Prophet ﷺ was not as affectionate to me as he usually was. But again, Aisha is unaware of what's happening. Then she says, as time went by, I became, you know, I recovered, I was getting well. And then one of the nights, she says, back in the day, they didn't have toilets inside their house, so they would go outside. SubhanAllah, what a great blessing to think that we have toilets in our house. How many of us have said Alhamdulillah for having a toilet in your house? Because what the women of the Sahaba would do, they would wait for the sun to set, it became dark, and then they would leave out in the desert, and it was quite dangerous, so they would go out in groups to avoid any harassment. So Aisha says she and a woman called Mistah, the mother of Mistah, this was her name, she was an aunt of hers, a family member of hers, the two of them went out into the desert to answer the call of nature. And on their way back from the toilet, Mistah, she stumbles, she trips, and she says, may Mistah be cursed, meaning her own son. She says, may he be ruined. Mistah, may he be ruined. So Aisha says, SubhanAllah, what a bad thing you've said. Why would you say something so bad about your son? And also, in fact, Mistah is a good guy. Mistah was even of those who fought in the Battle of Badr. How can you speak so negatively about him? So this lady said to Aisha, and what does it matter to you what I say about Mistah? In fact, did you know what he says about you? He was of those who were also spreading the words of the ifk. He was of those who were spreading the rumors that Aisha and Safwan had an affair. So Aisha said, what? She was completely, you know, unaware that there was this rumor going around. And she says, yes, Mistah. And now Aisha becomes aware that there is this talk happening. So she goes back home and she's basically in tears and she's all worked up and anxious. And now she begins to realize, she's putting two and two together. Perhaps this is why the Prophet ﷺ is not as affectionate as he was. So she waits for him to come home. And then she says to him, do you give me permission to move to my parents? I'd like to stay with my parents. And the Prophet ﷺ says, no problem. If you'd like to do that, you can go. So he gave her permission. She leaves the house and she goes to the house of Abu Bakr radiallahu anha. So she gets to her mother, Rumman, and she says to her mom, I've heard this rumor about me. Is it true? Is this what they're saying? And Rumman basically says to her, yes, there is this rumor going about. She also heard about it. But I you know, don't worry, Aisha. This is just, you know, empty talk. People are always going to gossip about a woman, especially a woman that is loved by her husband. We all know that the Prophet ﷺ loves you very much. And you have co-wives, you've got competition. So usually these kind of rumors come or spread just because out of jealousy or envy. So Aisha, but she's, you know, she's so broken inside. She's so, you know, heart sore, because this is not just any rumor. This is accusing her of zina, accusing her of having an affair against the Prophet ﷺ. She can't believe that her honor is being tarnished like this, that people are talking about her in this manner. And so she begins to weep. And she says, I wept that entire day, that entire morning, throughout the night I was weeping. I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep, I was just crying to think about it. The parents of Aisha, Abu Bakr and Rumman, they felt, you know, you're gonna get sick. You can't do this. You might even, you know, die from the sadness. She would mention how she would get some of her friends, they would visit her, and they would just sit there and they would weep and they would cry, because she felt so heart sore and hurt at this rumor. the Prophet ﷺ, you know, he himself is unaware of what to do, because he wasn't receiving any revelation or any indication, so he was not aware, you know, the truth or falsehood as to these rumors. So Aisha radiallahu anha says that initially he first went to ask people's advice, those who were very close to Aisha, those who knew her very well. He first consulted two people that he was very close with, two people that knew him and knew his family very well, this being Usama ibn Zayd. Now Usama, remember, is the son of Zayd. Zayd, the adopted son of the Prophet ﷺ. Usama is like a grandson to the Prophet ﷺ. Usama is of those who lived with the Prophet ﷺ. Hibbun Nabi was his nickname, the beloved of the Nabi ﷺ. So the Prophet asked Usama, "Ya Usama, what do you think about these rumors? You know Aisha, you are those people that are in my inner circle of the intimate members, my Ahlul Bayt. What do you know of Aisha?" And he says, "Subhanallah, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I know absolutely nothing negative about her. We know her to be a woman of good character. This is the furthest thing that we can think of with regards to Aisha." Then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke to Sayyidina Ali. And again, Ali grew up under the Prophet's eye, he was like a son, he was married to Fatima, also of the inner circle of the Prophet ﷺ, his immediate family members, he would know Aisha personally. So the Prophet says to Ali, "What do you say about Aisha?" Now Ali radiallahu anh, he said some words which hurt Aisha, and there would be this strained relationship between them, partly because of this. So Ali says to the Prophet ﷺ, "Look, I have nothing negative to say about Aisha, I have never seen anything bad about her. I've never seen anything to be of concern. But Ya Rasulullah, you are all, you know, cut up and torn apart and a heart sore, and you know, you're going through a tough time over this Aisha. You've got so many women basically who throw themselves at you. You are the Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You could have your pick of women. You could have any woman. Why get so, you know, caught up over this Aisha? You know, basically, if you divorce her and leave her, you can find someone else, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if she's telling the truth, He will take care of her." So Ali then says, "But if you really want to know a woman person, her intimate side, go and ask Aisha's slave." Aisha had a slave called Barira. "Go and ask Barira about Aisha. She would know Aisha the best." There's a very nice story about Barira. We'll talk inshallah with time. Barira and her husband Mughith very madly in love with Barira, but she didn't want him. We'll talk about that inshallah in time to come. So the Prophet goes to this lady Barira and says, "Ya Barira, tell me about Aisha. What do you know?" Again, she says, "Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, nothing negative I can say about her. In fact, the biggest criticism I can make about her is that she's a young, innocent in her thinking. She's a young girl, kind of naive, kind of immature in the way she thinks. She would make the dough for bread, and then she would be forgetful or clumsy, and she forgets about the bread, she falls asleep, and the goats come into the house and they eat the bread up. This is the kind of girl she is in the house. For her to arrange an affair, this is like so far beyond her. She's such an innocent woman on the inside." So now the Prophet ﷺ, after making mashura, and again, subhanAllah, we see from this the very human side of the Nabi ﷺ. He's very human. He misses his wife. He is very sad about this. He's getting pressure from everyone saying, "How can you, you know, allow your wife to carry on like this? You are the messenger of Allah." So obviously for him, he's in a very difficult position. And he makes mashura. He asks those people around what advice they can give him. So now he's sort of convinced that, look, there's no suspicion on Aisha radiallahu anha. So he goes to the masjid and he makes a sermon. And he says to the sahaba that there are those who are harming me through my family. They're harming me by harming my family. And this is a point to note. Till today, there are those people who slander Aisha in the worst of ways. Till today, unfortunately, our mother Aisha, things are said about her worse than even what the munafiqs of Medina had said. And this shows you that it hurts the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the most. When you harm his wives or his children, his family, it really is an insult to him. Because these are the people that he spent, that he slept next to, that he loved the most. You attack them, you attack him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he gives the sermon and he says, "Oh my companions, there are those who are insulting my family." And they knew who they were. And so who will assist me against them? That these people have slandered a woman who has no suspicion on her. And there's no evil or that I know from her. And they are slandering a man. They are slandering Safwan, a good man who we know nothing negative about him. So what shall we do? So one of the Sahaba, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, radiallahu anhu, one of the great companions, the leaders of the people of Medina, one of the first of the people of Medina to embrace Islam, the man who when he dies, the throne of Allah shook. This is the hadith about Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. He stands up and he says, "Ya Rasulullah, those who are the one that is making these lies, if he's from my tribe, I'm the chief, I will take care of him myself. And if he's from the other tribe, so there were two tribes of Arabs in Medina, if he's from the other tribe, then we will also look, take care of him. So when the other tribe began getting worked up, and the Prophet ﷺ is standing on the minbar, Aisha says the two tribes started arguing to the point where Sa'd's tribe, Sa'd ibn Mu'ad, and the Aus, and the other side, the Khazraj, they stand up and they start arguing, and it got to the point where even fists were about to be, you know, they're starting to actually fight with one another. So the Prophet ﷺ calms them down and he intervenes and they sit down. And clearly now, the Prophet ﷺ doesn't know what to do. And Aisha says she cried bitterly when she heard about this event. And she was in such a deep, sad moment to see the entire community is talking about her. The entire community is in an uproar because of her. The Prophet ﷺ is distant from her. So she says, I cried so intensely that my parents came to me, Abu Bakr and Umar Uman, and says, Ya Aisha, you can't continue like this. Your liver is going to burst. SubhanAllah, look at the love that she has for the Nabi ﷺ, the intense sadness she feels at being separated from him. So she said this was like the lowest moment for her in this whole saga. Inshallah, in the next episode we will discuss how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would come to the rescue of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha and how this matter would be resolved. For any questions, concerns or comments, please email me directly, westmuhammad@gmail.com. And again, if you're not meant to receive these lectures or you don't want to be part of our mailing list, please let us know so we can remove you. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.